You're listening to a Brain Stew Fresh Fright Review.
What's up, creeps? Welcome to another Epic Film Guys Fresh Fright Review. I'm Justin.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm B-Ratty.
And this week on the show, we're talking about another Nun horror movie. That's right. The last episode, you heard us talk about Immaculate starring Sydney Sweeney. And here we are, back to fucking back with another one. Brady, what movie are we reviewing on the show this week, my friend?
Oh, we are talking about the first Omen, which is the prequel to the Richard Donner classic, The Omen. And for those who don't know what this movie is about, I'm here to tell you. A young American woman is sent to Rome to begin a life of service to the church. Sounds kind of like Immaculate, but okay.
A lot like it.
Encounters a darkness that causes her to question her faith and uncovers a terrifying conspiracy that hopes to bring about the birth of evil incarnate.
You could have told me that was the synopsis for Immaculate, and I would have believed you.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
You gotta love when there's just that moment in time where two things that most likely had no idea about the other, and they both come out at the same time, man.
Within weeks. And you know what's cool? I loved that there was no shade thrown or anything. I even saw the Immaculate social media pages, like, sharing the first Omen stuff, like, the week before it came out to, like, help them.
That's fucking cool.
You know? Why the fuck not? I mean, both movies can be good. Both movies can be successful. As of right now, looks like the first Omen has not made back its budget. It had a budget of around $30 million as of this recording. It's been out for almost a week, and it's about almost at $19 million. I think Immaculate, on the other hand, made a lot more. I think that one had a budget of $9 million, had a box office of $19 million. But, you know, for this kind of movie, that is a pretty good box office. I'd like to see both do well. I loved Immaculate for the most part, and we reviewed that on last episode for Epic Film Guys. And now we're here for this one. Are we going to feel the same way? Well, it's time to dig in. But first and foremost, actually, I'll start with you, Jeremy. Did you have any anticipation for this thing at all?
No. And the reason being is that I do love The Omen. But, you know, it's just one of those things that, you know, I saw the trailer for this thing, and I thought that it had a real chance and possibility of just being your run-of-the-mill, you know, by-the-books horror film that gets turned out theatrically quite a bit these days, you know, with films like Night Swim and shit like that, to where I'm like, you know, okay, you show me spooky vibes and XYZ things in the trailer, but I don't know if it's going to deliver. And most of the times, unfortunately, often I'll say, they don't. So this was one of those things that nothing in the trailer made me go, oh, fuck, I got to see this. But it's The Omen. I'm a horror movie guy. Let's get our Antichrist on. So I was definitely down for it. And it was not what I thought it was going to be.
Brady, any anticipation on your part?
Kind of the same as Jeremy. I love the original Omen. I think it should be talked about up there with The Exorcist. Unfortunately, it's not. That's a different podcast. But the trailer to me was also, you know, kind of run of the mill. Looks like we've seen it all before. Same imagery. So I wasn't super excited for it, but I kind of went into it thinking, you know what, let me enjoy the ride. Let me see what they do with it. Let me see if they can wow me. I will say I'm a little skeptical of prequels anyways, because I feel like a prequel is almost kind of at a disadvantage anyways. Like, you, to be successful, to me, as a prequel, you cannot take away from the original. So you're almost always at a disadvantage. So going into this movie, I was a little wary. But yeah, that's kind of how I went into it, at least.
Very fair. I myself saw the trailer and it knocked my socks off. I thought it looked amazing. I thought it had a prestige look to it that most horror movies don't have. I love the way it was edited. It felt a lot more artsy, a lot more 1970s vibes in it than, you know, the traditional haunter, if you will. And I know, Brady, I'm pretty sure you did as well, but I rewatched the original last week before I went and saw this one. And I'll, you know, let you guys know if that was a benefit to the viewing of the new one or not. But I mean, bring on more movies like this. I'll take them any day of the week. Prequels to me, I don't feel the same way about them as you, Brady. It, to me, nothing will take away from the original, because that original movie will always be there for me to watch. So by watching this movie, if I absolutely hated it, loathed it, wanted it to burn in fucking hell, you know, it doesn't bother me. I'll just pop in the original, watch it, and I'll enjoy it. So, of course, to that point, it will have an uphill battle, because especially this one is the precursor to what you said was, which is one of the best horror movies of the 70s. And I could not agree more. That's the thing that hit me the most when I rewatched it, is that, man, more people should be fucking talking about this movie. It is a horror masterpiece to the fullest extent. Richard Donner, I mean, dude, one of the best filmmakers of his time, and RIP, by
old
the way.
Dick.
But dude, he really hit a nerve with that movie.
Donner.
He really did. So it's like, you know, but people don't make horror movies like that anymore. And that's where we start with this one. And we'll jump into initial thoughts. Jeremy, we'll start with you. What were your initial thoughts on the first Omen?
Blown away, dude.
Wow. Okay.
For going in for going into this thing, really not having any real kind of investment into whether it's going to be good or bad. Honestly, kind of half expecting it to not be very good. And it didn't just work for me because I wasn't expecting it to be very good, but it's just a really intelligent horror film that there are scenes in this movie that I will go on the record of saying I have never seen certain scenarios on the big screen in a wide release film ever. And it just, it entertained me. I was on the edge of my seat the entire movie. This one blew me the fuck away. What about you guys?
Well, I already kind of spoiled how I know one of our other co-hosts feels about this. So I'm just going to let him go right ahead, because I'm going to be ready and prepared for a rebuttal after he's done.
Yeah, that's me, obviously. So went into it, like I said, kind of hoping for the best. Not a lot of expectation. And I was left pretty unimpressed and let down by this movie.
Hot take.
I actually left the theater and looked at Faye and I was like, did we see the same movie that everybody else saw? Because I don't understand leaving that theater how everybody is calling this a masterpiece or comparing it to the same level as the original. And so
Bloody Disgusting just came out with an article ranking the Omen movies, and they literally put this one at number two.
Yeah, I know. So I just, it didn't work for me, and I
didn't land, man.
And I felt kind of embarrassed afterwards, kind of like that shame of like, man, am I the only one doing this? But that's how I felt about it.
Brady, you may possibly be the fucking only one. All right. And that's totally fine.
No, he's not. I've seen a couple other people.
Well, in the words of Godsmack, I stand alone. Okay.
No, you don't. In all seriousness, alone. You don't. But I honestly was kind of shocked about that, but at the same time, I wasn't, because let's be fair, we just mentioned that we just had Immaculate, and I believe you probably wouldn't feel this way about this movie had we not just gotten Immaculate. The movies are so similar, but that movie takes a more exploitation route, where this one takes a more classy, prestigious 1970s vintage vibe to it. My initial thoughts were much like Jeremy's, knocked the fucking wind out of me. I absolutely adored this movie. I think it is the best horror movie of the year. I am one of those that will put it at number two next to the original. And I even think some elements in this movie are done better than done in the original.
Sure.
You know, what for me it needs to work in this movie are performances, suspense, scares, and atmosphere. And of course, this movie just looks, it's gorgeous to watch. I mean, it has
gorgeous
all these different locations that you're at in Italy, and it's broad and huge, and the scope is very large. And horror usually these days is small, and you know, stay in one spot for the majority of the movie. This one has a $30 million budget, so it's a little more expensive. And I just really, really loved Nell Tiger-Free's performance as Margaret. I thought she was, you know, on par, if not better, than Sydney Sweeney in Immaculate. And I think if the main focus of the movie is on one single character, you know, that's going to make or break the movie for me. And I think that was one of the most important components there, was her performance. But we got to dig into the movie itself. Also, keeping in mind, you know, we have a new actor filling in for a character. We have Ralph Ineson from The Witch, who's taking over for Patrick Troughton as Bob Brennan. Anyone that has watched the original knows that iconic character's amazing death scene from the first movie, which, you know, okay, that sequence, I'm not saying that anything in this got to that level. And there's also a cheese factor to that scene, but we have his backstory a little bit. The movie opens with him, and he is in a scene with Charles Dance, which, by the way, I don't know if you guys, was he only in that one scene? I'm pretty sure he's only in one fucking scene.
Yeah.
You hired Charles Dance for one opening scene. But
also,
you know,
real quick, just saying, sorry to cut you off, this is a spoiler-filled episode.
Yes, thank you for reminding them, those that are new listeners. Those that usually listen, they know this is going to be full spoilers, but, you know, the movie's been out for a week. But yeah, so he meets with Father Harris, played by Charles Dance, about this occult conspiracy. And Father Harris gives Brennan a photograph of a baby with the name Sienna inscribed on it.
So here's what I want to talk
about. That, real quick, sorry.
No,
that fucking scene was the epitome of an attention getter. It let you know right off the bat that this movie is going to make you feel uneasy and that there could be anything around any corner. And when there was the reveal shot.
Yes, yes.
Oh, my fucking God, man. Around, I was like, okay. I see you.
But what I meant by, you know, it wasn't like an instant thing. It was a fake.
Oh, for
out.
Sure. And then for sure.
You know,
for sure.
Because you're like, oh, my God, no one dies. And then he fucking turns around and you see the back of his head. And it's, there's so much suspense put into that scene. That's when,
awesome.
That's when it immediately hit me, like, what kind of movie I was going to watch. You know, and which
that's what
I was like, okay, I'm in for this, because that opening scene was going to make or break my experience with it. And I was like, okay, I'm in for this fucking ride here.
Yeah, for sure. Hmm. Be ready. Sorry. Continue.
I'm just going to wait, because my point is going to come in handy later and make more sense.
I mean, feel free. Take it.
No,
on,
I was just going to say, you know, there's a couple things that I really had issues with. And to your point, Justin, you know, I think the performances are great. Yes. I think the atmosphere is great, but that's 50%. You know, the other two things did not land for me. And one thing we talk about on the show a lot is the difference between an homage and a ripoff or a copycat performance. And that kill that you just talked about with Charles Dance's character being killed, that's an homage to me. Like, that is baiting the audience, saying, okay, you know what happens in the original to Brennan. We're kind of subvert your expectations, but still kill him. Like, still kind of the same way. That's a good homage.
Right.
Be like, oh, tongue in cheek.
Right.
What happens later on in the movie, we'll talk about, is a complete ripoff of a kill, almost shot for shot, from what I saw, just including one extra element. And so for me, I think that goes into a lot of how this movie just doesn't hold up. Like, it's,
well,
it's,
I mean, to your point, I don't think you can rip off something if you're part of that franchise. You're homaging it regardless.
So then I'll also say, if you are the fucking Antichrist, you only have two tricks up your sleeve. You're killing people off the same way in the prequel you kill them off in the fucking original. Like, what are you doing?
I mean, that's fair. Keep in mind as well, I mean, my perspective on this was, this is a fresh new take on The Omen. The last Omen movie we got was the remake. Jeremy, do you remember when that was, like, the middle of the
2004, 2005?
Yeah. So
it's been a long time.
None of the young people going to see this know anything about any of those movies. So if there's anything, to me at least, that seems like an homage, it's because we haven't gotten a new movie in this series in so many fucking years that it still felt fresh to me. You know what I mean? Like, the only people that are going to be possibly bothered by that are old ass motherfuckers that love the original, that, you know, hold it, they're beholden to that particular movie. I felt like the kills, at least right off the bat, if we're going to talk about them, were close to the stuff we saw in the original, which I just watched before this, but done in a different way, differently enough where I was like, cool, totally fine with me. You know, it didn't bother me at all. I mean, it's like taking, for example, the Friday the 13th remake. Sure, there's kills that are extremely similar, arrow through the eye, you know, same shit to the original. It's an homage, but they do it slightly differently. You know, I just view it in that sense. I also, I felt like all of the violence in this movie was so visceral, so mean-spirited. This did not feel like a traditional studio motion picture, and especially not one made by fucking Disney, which owns 20th Century Studios. They fucking made this movie. They promoted this movie, which to me is still wild.
It's kind of crazy, yeah.
I love it.
But, So, moving on, again, this is much like Immaculate in the sense, Brady, where, you know, we have this character, sure. Margaret. She heads to this orphanage, and she has this, she has this history with Bill Nighy's Cardinal Lawrence. So he's known her since she was a kid, and it seems like he's been a huge part of her life, and she's been a troubled child, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. And then she gets to this school, and while she's working there, she realizes that there's this mistreated orphan, Carlita, and she connects with this child in a deep way, and she really wants to take care of her from her own experiences. And from there, you know, we have this buildup, and Margaret starts to get visions while she's there, and there starts to be things that she's uneasy about. And that's when, of course, as we always like to say, pushing it forward here, hijinks ensue.
Yeah. I mean, I think the relationship between Margaret and Carlita was well written and well performed. Those two had a really good back and forth. They built what little suspense I found in the movie came from those two. So I did really enjoy the scenes where they're in it. And to your point, Justin, you know, Margaret is a character to follow in this movie. How well the actual script utilizes her towards the end with that twist that wasn't a twist is up for debate, but she gives a great performance, and she is someone to watch in this movie. I don't know that the things that she goes through in this movie really explain it in a way that works for me.
Well, elaborate. What would have made it work for you that's different than what they did in the movie?
So, similar to Immaculate, you know, we find out that the Antichrist, Damien, that we find out in the original is being...
Is this a spoiler for Immaculate as well?
Well, we already did that, and a spoiler on that. But this,
yeah, but yeah, somebody who's listening...
So if you're listening to this and you haven't listened to Immaculate...
And you haven't seen Immaculate.
So... Yeah. You know, in that movie and this one, we find out that there is this scientific approach to it. So in this movie, First Omen, they're manufacturing the birth of an Antichrist, and they're impregnating people with the jackal and trying to...
We got some jackal coming here.
...produce an Antichrist, which... For me, and this could be, you know, I've thought about it a lot. This could be from my own upbringing with Christianity and religion, but... You know, the Antichrist is evil incarnate, right? Like, there does not have to be an explanation for the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the opposite of Jesus Christ and happens. Immaculate Conception, right? So the fact that they said, cool, we have a cult of people who are not Satanists, they're churchgoers who want people to come back to the church because they're turning too secular. So we're going to impregnate people with a jackal, hoping that it produces this Antichrist that we can then control to make people come back to going to church, was so fucking convoluted, was so fucking in outfield. It made no goddamn sense. And it takes away from the power of what the fucking Damien is in the original, because he comes from people that swapped him out with a baby. He's just evil. He's the Antichrist. There's no explanation for it. So for me, that instantly took me out of it. And I said, why are we going this route? Why are we doing the scientific fucking Jurassic Park thing all over again? Like, I don't need that. And so for me, anything after that reveal was just dumb.
It felt way more like a pagan ritual to me than anything scientific. Immaculate took a very specific, direct scientific approach, where this just felt like this age-old thing that they've done before. And if you connect it to the opening of The Omen, when they the babies are switched, it always felt like to me it had to do with the church. Immediately, the church was behind the whole fucking thing. When you watch the movie, that's what I always connected that to.
I guess to me
it seems like I totally respect that. I think your problem is with the choice they made. I mean, if this was going to be the origin and we were going to get the origin of Damien, I mean, I don't see any other possible way, unless, you know, the devil just shit him out of his asshole and there he is. You know?
Well, yeah, I'll jump in and I will say that I found the reason for them basically manufacturing the Antichrist to be like, okay, well, that's like, it is a little silly, right? I think that if it should have been people posing as religious entities in order to infiltrate and create an Antichrist, because they are Satanists and they want to bring about the end of the world.
Right.
Like, to me, I think that would have worked a little bit better, because that was a moment where I went, okay, so let me get this straight. These are religious people that believe in God and love God and Jesus Christ, but they want to create the Antichrist in order to bring people back to church. I think it would have just made a little bit more sense if they were like, nah, fuck that. We're pretending to be Christians or Catholic or whatever the fuck, and we're just basically trying to create the devil and we're just posing as these religious entities because fuck religion and fuck God and fuck heaven and all that shit. You know, like, I feel like that would have been made a little bit more sense, I guess.
No, I mean, they even could have just done the route of, these are a group of Satanists who are not trying to pretend to be people. They're just trying to make the Antichrist happen. So you could in a sense, bring in the jackal, bring in the, we're going to bring these women to the jackal and impregnate it to try to make an Antichrist.
Real quick, where did the jackal phrase come from? Like, what is that from?
That's from the first one. The
original.
Okay.
She was born. That's why. She was born of a jackal.
Dude, yeah. Someone reached out to me after I saw it, and they were like, bro, just one thing I need to know. How the fuck do they explain her getting fucked by a jackal? And I was like, dude,
he's got a dick.
I was like, you're going to have to watch the movie for yourself.
Okay.
You know, but
it's been a minute since I watched the original, and I'm like, dude, now I want to watch the sequel to the first Omen. It's called The Omen. I'm really excited about it.
You should watch it.
Yeah. My opinion on what you guys just both mentioned is, you know, I came from a religious upbringing as well. The motherfucking church would absolutely fucking do this in order to gain more power in the world. Look at what they've done in the history of Christianity, the history of Catholicism, for decades and hundreds of years, centuries. They've done every single thing they can do to swindle people to gain power. By taking other religions, adopting other traditions, and calling them their own Christian names. The Crusades, anyone? I mean, they killed thousands of people in order to enforce the religion. This, to me, did not seem far-fetched in the least in a movie where a girl gets impregnated by a demonic jackal. I mean, I'm watching a movie about a baby that's being born that later on in the fucking franchise ends up becoming the fucking president. So, I mean, this is like the least bit, you know, for me at least, far-fetched thing in a fantasy horror movie. I don't take it as a realistic thing, but if I had to, you know,
it didn't. Everything else worked so well for me that it wasn't a deal breaker for me. But yeah, if I did have to do one critique on the film of like, what's one thing you would change, it would be the motivation.
Yeah. I mean, in reality, and again, Brady and I just discussed this on Immaculate, and it's in those comparisons, unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, are very much at the forefront, because that movie also did something extremely similar with that concept of religious people attempting to, I mean, it was slightly different in that one. Brady, we talked about it in that one.
Yeah, a little bit.
It's honestly what they're trying to have birthed is the exact opposite in a way. So yeah, it does feel a little bit strange, but again, they both have the same idea, and that's why it's like I trusted it in that, I trusted in this. I feel like if I'm going to go along for the ride, if I buy into it, I'm good. And I bought into this overall in terms of that. But what that allowed us to get was some amazing visuals. Let's just say I've never seen a vagina treated in the way that I did in this movie.
Dude, true. I couldn't believe they showed it. Terrifying. I could not believe they did a side profile shot, and I was like, that shit's crazy. And then they did the fucking full Monty
dude, it made you
camera
think, Jeremy,
straight up.
Didn't you think at first when you saw the side, you were like, oh my God, they showed that. You didn't for 1 minute think, oh my God, they're going to actually show the front full on. So when dude, I saw, I was like, I was taken aback. I was like, oh my God, they fucking went there.
Yeah, it was my buddy Anthony and Mike went with me to see the movie. And I just fucking looked at them like, oh my God. Because, like, not like in a childish way, but like in a way of like, I can't believe.
Yeah, exactly.
That made it into fucking theaters nationwide. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah, for sure. Also, something to bring up that I really enjoyed about this movie, Brady, I don't know if you felt this way about it, but I really loved that the time frame in which they set this in Rome, where they had these riots happening. Mm-hmm. They had these, you know, people on the streets with signs and they were pissed off. And we had that one scene in the movie where they took the field trip. And I thought it was one of the most terrific scenes in the movie that had nothing to do with directly anything to do with any of the demonic shit, which was just they come out and they're trying to escape this riot. And Margaret's just stuck in this. And the way that was shot, framed and put together was truly horrific. You know, I mean, I thought that was some fantastic work there as well.
No, I did too. And so that is one thing I did enjoy. You know, there's riots are coming, I believe, from a labor movement where they're looking for higher wages or fair wages. And that's introduced kind of offhand remark at the beginning when Margaret first shows up. But yeah, when she leaves that museum and she's stuck in the crowd, separated from the kids in the church, you know, there's this underlying theme where Margaret's kind of like the unreliable narrator, you know, where she also has her background in mental health issues, where she has been a ward of the church for a while. So you see her in her vision, you know, this tentacle is coming around her, suffocating her, but then you see the Mother Superior nun, she just sees her there alone, not being touched. So I thought that was a really good way to up the ante in a way and, you know, show some suspense and be like, what exactly am I getting into here?
Yeah, for sure.
So real quick, who's your guy's favorite character in this movie?
I mean,
Father Brennan.
I like Father Brennan a lot. The one thing about Ralph Ineson, if anyone that's watched The Witch before, is that he's really fucking hard to understand.
Yeah.
Dude, and again, you know, Patrick Troughton in the original had a very thick accent as well, but nowhere near on this level. I mean, I really liked Father Brennan a lot, but for me, it'd have to be Margaret. I mean, I just really connected with her in a really deep way, and I think, again, she makes the movie for me, much like Sydney Sweeney made Immaculate. You know, you have this strong, powerful performance from the female lead, and of course, you know, I got to talk about the fact that this was directed by a female director, Arkasha Stevenson, who doesn't have that much under her belt. She just directed some episodes of some shows, Legion, Briar Patch, as well as the third season of Channel Zero. And mm-hmm. I've never heard of any of those things. I mean, so pretty crazy.
Legion She's is good.
Yeah, that's right. You were talking about Legion with me the other day, but this is her actual feature fucking directorial debut. And if this is any indication as to what she's going to be making in the future, count me in for every single thing she directs. That's something that needs to be brought up even more. And I think that's another reason why so many people are hailing this so highly as a modern horror masterpiece. This is her first movie. And
great,
it's made in the same vein, at least to my eyes, as what Richard Donner created with the 1976 original. It has that old school feel to it, that huge scope, and it just, you know, I'm shocked that someone that this is their first movie and they're able to do it, and props to her for creating something so awesome with this movie. But, you know, moving along very quickly here, because the ending is some wild shit, and it's either going to work for you or it's not going to work for you. Brady, what did you think about the ending?
Hated it. I just so here's the other thing that I wanted to bring up. In the movie, you know, they say, okay, cool, the Jackal is impregnating somebody. There's 14 different girls or babies, right, that have been created, and they find a file. You find out, oh, well, it's because the Jackal needs to have a boy in order for it to be the Antichrist. So he's had 14 girls. All those girls still have the triple sixes, the mark of the beast. Why would they have the fucking mark of the beast? They're not the Antichrist. That didn't make sense to me. So then you find out, cool, the Jackal needs to actually impregnate his own offspring, which is how they bring Margaret into it. When the whole movie, they've been trying to show you, make you think it's Carlita that's going to get impregnated, but really it's Margaret.
I mean, anyone, I think all three of us knew. Anyone watching the movie knew they were not going to impregnate a girl that young. We all knew it was Margaret from the start.
However, one thing I did like about the ending was they're in a, kind of in a car chase scene. They're trying to race to either a hospital or a safe location. They get into a car accident. Margaret gets out of the car and her water breaks. And I thought they were going to turn her into a jackal for a second. Like the way she's just contorting and going through labor.
Amazing scene.
Incredible scene. So I really did appreciate that.
So you didn't totally hate the ending.
The ending for me is, you know, it ties right into the Omen, the original 1976. But then you have this weird fucking scene at the end where Father Brennan goes to this house in the snow where Margaret is with Carlita and Margaret's daughter, which is the twin of Damien. And he's only for him to say the name Damien. That's all it's there for. That was so fucking dumb to get there and be like, hey, I just want you to know they're going to come find you. And they named your son Damien. And then it cuts. It's like, what the fuck was that for?
Yeah, you just talked about my favorite scene in the entire movie.
I'm sorry.
I loved the ending, and I loved that Father Brennan like truly cares about Margaret, and that you can tell that he's happy that she survived, but like he wants, I saw it as more of a warning, like just to let you know you're not safe. I care about you and what we've been through, so I'm here to give you a warning that they know that you're alive and they will come for you. And then of course the cherry on top was Damien, like, which dude, it's fucking rad.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, leading up to that, you know, we see a photo of Robert Thorne played by Gregory Peck. So we have that connection to the original. So that, again, I like that little Easter egg for fans of the original. I mean, if this is a direct prequel, sure, I would like to see that in there. I also really loved the ending. I loved the climax of the end of the movie, with you know, Margaret awaking strapped to a hospital bed and realizing that, you know, they're trying to remove these. Well, we think it's one child. We find out it's two children. And, you know, Margaret stabs Lawrence, takes the child, and she's trying to kill him. And there's this buildup to that, you know. And then we even see the Jackal in flames in the background, which I loved that imagery. You know, then she leaves and she takes Carlita with her, and you know, then we get that scene at the end that you guys talked about. And I would have to believe, because Jeremy, you've seen all the sequels, it's been a long time since I've seen them all, this character doesn't come up ever again. Am I correct about that?
Yeah, so my thing is, do you guys think that if this thing makes enough money, they'll make a follow-up to this, which would essentially be another prequel? Or like, no,
you know what, I do agree with Brady. I hope not. I don't see where that would make any sense at all whatsoever,
because it would be almost like a linear side by side with the events of the original Omen. Like that would be weird.
Belief on it is that he comes to warn them, and we're led to believe like they get killed. I mean, because if those characters don't get named in any way before the first movie starts, like, well, then they're gone. They're not just in hiding, and then we're gonna get a movie that takes place, you know, 30, 40 years later, and they're still alive. You know, it's interesting to think because, you know, for me at least, I would like to see more movies like this from the same director, Arkasha Stevenson, but it wouldn't make any logical sense at all whatsoever to do so. So, yeah. But as we're winding down on our Fresh Fright review on The First Omen, we might as well jump into final thoughts and trash it or treasure it. And you know what, Brady, since you've been chomping at the bit, you got more to say. You want to talk about those kills being ripoffs, motherfucker. I know you want to, so just go have at it, my friend.
How funny would it be if I just like treasured it right now?
When I talked to you the other day, all you said was, it's closer to trash than treasure. You never even told me what you were going to rate it. So I don't know.
Going back to the beginning, for me, you know, I don't mind an origin story. I don't mind explaining something. I am a fan of Rob Zombie's Halloween.
I was just going to call you out on that. So I'm so glad that you were honest.
I think that's a really interesting way to go back and show like, hey, like here's my take on how, you know, Michael Myers ended up being Michael Myers. However, I think the real horror of The Shape and Michael Myers from the original Halloween is that you don't know his reasoning. Like he just one day snaps and kills his sister and then years later kills everybody else. So
John Carpenter made a boogeyman movie and Rob Zombie made a serial killer movie.
Sure. But I don't mind that explanation in Rob Zombie's own way, right? However, I feel like a prequel should not take away anything from the original, and it should at least add to it or help boost it up or supplement it. This one doesn't do that for me. And especially with the lead up right into the events of the original, like it takes away, and it could be just because it's the reasoning behind it for me, you know, like that does not work at all.
I get it.
The 14 different girls who have the mark of the beast and then they finally get a son, that doesn't work for me either. The kills, other than Charles Dance's priest getting killed in an homage to Father Brennan, I think that, and I'm sorry, I'm forgetting her name, but the nun in the orphanage, the convent, when she gets killed or kills herself, that's
Mia Goth's fucking...
yeah, no eyebrows. It's almost a complete ripoff, except she lights herself on fire. It's almost shot for shot of in the original. And the thing, you know, I was talking to Faye about it with the original, when the nanny kills herself, that's the first moment of violence or terror you have in that movie. And it comes out of fucking left field. This movie doesn't have that because you know what's going to happen in the original. So the entire time you're expecting something, and it starts off with violence and a kill. So I think that that just takes away from the awe and the power of what an Antichrist child movie is and what we got with the original Omen. So for me, I did not enjoy it as much as I wanted to. There was too much wrong with it for me to enjoy the parts that were not wrong with it. So I gotta trash it.
And Jeremy, final thoughts and trash it or treasure it?
I think it's a great companion piece, and it all really worked for me except for the one little bit where I was like, I feel like that could have been tweaked a little bit and a little bit better, but it wasn't a game, you know, changer or ruiner for me that I didn't like that one minute aspect of it. But I really loved this one. I was not expecting to love this one. It's absolutely a treasure for me. I can't wait to buy it and have it with the other Omen movies in my collection. So fuck yeah.
Yeah, I'm lock and step with you. Fantastic, brilliant prequel. I like it almost as much, if not just as much as the original. Also, needed to mention how awesome it was that they threw in a reference to Possession from 1981 when Margaret's freaking the fuck out after her water breaks. I mean, I was like, man, they just went there. And people that know are going to know, and the other people are still going to be wowed by that shit. You know, like I said a million times already, this felt like a movie that was made in the 70s in terms of from a filmmaker's perspective, how big it felt, the scope. You know, the locations, it was just gorgeous to look at. We have a brilliant performance by Nell Tigerfree as Margaret. The sense of dread and the imagery for the demonic stuff. Haven't seen anything done like that in so long. And I adored every single second of it. So for me, it is a treasure. I myself also cannot wait to own this movie and watch it again. ladies and gentlemen, that's it for our Fresh Fright review on The First Omen. If this is your first time listening, thank you. We love you very much. And if you've been listening for a long time, we love you even more. Thanks for checking out this episode. If you're new to the show, you can find us on social media at Epic Film Guys, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're literally all over the place. And, looking forward to more awesome horror goodness for the rest of the year. But as we end, once again, I am Justin.
Jeremy.
I'm Be Ready.
And as always, we'd like to ask you to keep it creepy.